taken outside the body and was the result of a failed pregnancy. The first living fetus photographed in the womb didn't have its thumb in its mouth. It's almost as well lit and clearly defined as the picture of the dead fetus, and has a visible nose and mouth. But isolated against a black background, it's somehow less individual, more abstract. When it was chosen as the cover of Life in 1965, the entire edition of 8 million copies sold out, for the first and only time in the American magazine's history. Sarah Franklin, lecturer in cultural anthropology at Lancaster University.
The image that's actually on the cover of the 1965 issue of Life magazine is taken from about an inch away of the fetus. And so it shows a very, very close headshot where you mostly see the eye and the eyebrow and the nose of the fetus. And you can very clearly see the blood vessels beneath the skin. And you can see them almost pulsing.
Ironically, it's the image of the dead fetus sucking its thumb which has proved so memorable. It's been adopted as a symbol by the pro-lifers, those who don't believe a woman has the right to choose whether to have an abortion or not. It's no longer possible to look at Nielsen's pioneering picture without being aware of that debate.
The image of the embryo with its hand in its mouth sucking its thumb, what I would refer to as the most familiar of the Nielsen fetal images, has perhaps become most well known in pro-life imagery. So, for example, in abortion debates here in Britain, postcards of those Nielsen images have been thrown from the balconies down on parliamentarians to remind them, you know, to take the rights of the fetus, to make the rights of the fetus paramount.
That's partly, I suppose, because having the hand and sucking the thumb makes this look a bit more like a real person, makes it almost a portrait rather than some sort of abstract notion of an unseen thing inside your tummy. Is that why it's become such a powerful image?
It's just like a baby, to put it very simply. And it has a kind of an innocence. That photograph is backlit, you know, it's kind of washed, and it gives it a very soft, translucent kind of an appearance. And also in the background, you can see the amniotic sac, because ironically, it is more a portrait of a fetal postmortem, as almost as like a kind of a veil behind the fetus. So it is an image that has religious sort of connotations as well as very obviously human ones.
There's an irony, really, because he as you rightly say, this makes the child look more like a human being and therefore helps those who are against abortion. And yet he himself tells you that he's got a picture of a chicken sucking its wing. Looks very, very similar. In fact, pigs and fish and chicken look very much the same in the first few weeks of
yes,
the pregnancy.
That's right. Well, there's a very famous issue of Life magazine that came out more recently with the monkey fetus on the cover. You know, as you say, I think he was basically a kind of an old-fashioned naturalist who liked to collect images of things in their natural environment, and, you know, he didn't really have any intention to try and make this into the kind of ideologically loaded image that it has become in that context anyway.
Back in 1965, of course, Lennart Nielsen himself had no inkling of the uses to which campaigners would put his picture. He's unsure whether to describe himself as a photographer or a scientist. He likes the term photojournalist best. He believes his photograph is a portrait of an unborn baby.
You know, the Life magazine story, 65, the first spread was an image of a fetus 16 weeks old in the mother's womb. And this is, of course, alive today.
He or she, healthy or unhealthy? Yeah, what happened to that person?
I don't know. I took it 65, I guess in early spring, 65. And this was the very first portrait, and I should like to, maybe in the future, do some investigation to say hello.
Why do you call it a portrait and not a scientific study, not an endoscopic photograph, but a portrait?
This was taken with an endoscope.
But you call it a portrait, and I'm interested in why you use that word.
It's a portrait, yes. It's the first portrait. And I think the caption in Life describes it. This is the first portrait ever taken in the uterus of a living fetus.
When you take an ectopic photograph, when you sometimes take photographs of all sorts of things in the body, but actually now outside the body, in a way, that's a kind of trick. I mean, we think we're looking at something true and living, but we're not. Does that worry you at all?
No, not at all, because this is an information, you know. I try always to do the picture not like a fake picture taken inside, but I want to take it in the best way. And even I try to take it in a beautiful way, too.
You don't think that there's ever a danger that you distort the truth?
I don't know. But I don't think so. But there is always different meanings looking at the picture.
It still worries me. It still worries me. It worries me. It's a wonderful dream. Don't you think it's a good thing to leave some mystery somewhere? Not to be literal about everything?
I agree. And, you know, I did a story of Ingrid Bergman, the film star Ingrid Bergman. And when I told her that Riansk Mill, what I was working with just now, and I told her that I have been working a lot with fertilization. And Ingrid said to me, "Leonard, we must have some secrets." Yes. And I agree with her too.
The young mother we heard at the beginning of the program is obviously only too happy that her ultrasound scan revealed the mystery of what's in her womb. Ultrasound, of course, is a quite different technology from Lennart Nielsen's endoscope photography. But though its results are much less clear and dramatic, every pregnant mother still wants one.
100% of people want a picture at this stage to take with them, to show their family. It's the first sort of bonding, really, they have with the baby.
It's also possible now to have a video, and that's very, very popular, to get a 20-minute video of your fetus before you go home. In the United States, that demand has become so intense in some places that, you know, women are saying, you know, well, you know, just a minute, you know, go back and make sure you get that, you know, headshot a little bit more closely. You know, I don't want to take this video home and have people disappointed that they haven't had the full tour of the new member of the family.
Sometimes a woman who's having her seventh baby is still absolutely overjoyed to see the image on the screen.
That was the radiographer at University Hospital Lewisham, Julie Scudder. Other professionals are less certain about the advantages of routine scans. Pregnant mothers, they fear, simply don't understand their true purpose. Midwife Mary Cronk.
We say, you'll be going along for the scan, and the woman will tell her friends, "I'm going along for the scan to make sure everything's all right." Well, actually, it's not making sure everything's all right. It's finding out if there might be anything wrong.
It's a show. I mean, sometimes as a sonographer, we feel like we're showmen. And then if we don't put on a good show, they are disappointed. The scan does have a real purpose, and it's not entertainment. And it's important to realise that we are looking for problems with the baby, and that a scan shouldn't be used just as an opportunity to get a picture and to find out the sex of the baby.
At about the same time as Nielsen took his first photographs inside the womb, man went into space and photographed the Earth, largely covered with water, for the first time too. There are some rather curious parallels between the astronauts' pictures of the blue planet and Nielsen's photographs of the fetus. And it's not just that the fetus became the final image in Stanley Kubrick's space movie 2001. Sarah Franklin again.
They are both kind of orb-like. Certainly many of the Nielsen fetuses that show the fetus within the amniotic sac, you know, they do have a planetary kind of a quality. The quality that was taken up in the film 2001, you know, is very much that kind of an image. And the other thing we could say about both of those images is that they're very much images of the shared human condition, what we might call kind of pan-humanity.
And the way that actually both those, as you say, rather round objects float in a sea of black, in a way both says there's a huge, huge, huge universe, something out there beyond our understanding, doesn't it?
Yes, that's right. And what's interesting, the difference between the cover photo of the 1965 Life magazine and the rest of the photos is that while the cover photo was the first image taken of a live fetus, it is the only image in that magazine that's of a live fetus, and the rest of them are fetuses that have been removed from the woman's body and are therefore can be photographed with the lighting and in their totality, as it were, literally like sort of floating astronauts in space.
Do you think there's any difference in our response to that picture because we know it's the one picture that's really of a living being?
Well, I think most people think they're all alive, or at least I think it's associated with life even though it's dead, which is one of the paradoxes of these images. Definitely one of the paradoxes of the images of life before birth is that most of them are in fact life after death.
This program, or these programs, are about photographs which we believe change the world. It seems to me from what you've just said that you really do believe the world changed to some extent when the picture was first published on the 30th of April 1965.
Well, I think most photographs are products of their time, and the 1960s was a period of tremendous faith in technological accomplishment and in human futures and in the possibility to transcend boundaries of all kinds, including, in a sense, the boundaries of the body itself. So we could see this photograph both as a manifestation of a period of great confidence in science and technology to bring about an improved human future, and also to a certain extent as contributing to that.
Perhaps there's only one thing that all the women who talked to me about these photographs would agree on, that their worlds were changed by these pictures. Our young parents-to-be are certainly totally positive.
So if you can look, you can see the baby there. And you can see in the middle, there's a flicker in here. That's the baby's heart beating, just by my finger there.
So, oh, yeah.
All the black is the fluid that the baby's floating in. There, the baby's surrounded.
So it's
by.
Really there.
It's very really there.
Did you want a picture of the baby?
Yes, today? Please.
Or several.
It's quite surprising what you can see, really, isn't it?
Yes.
It's
very
sick.
It's
so clear. And
this little heartbeat, it's the nicest thing to see, isn't it?
Good luck to all three of them.